Radio, right here on the Hockey This Week Radio Network, broadcasting live from New York and in Los Angeles, the great city of Los Angeles in California. My name is Paul Cuthbert, ladies and gentlemen. I am manning the board here in New York, but it's time to bring the host of our show, the great Mr. Steve Palumbo. Steve, Paulie here in New York. Good evening, sir, and how are you?
Good evening, Paul. I'm doing great. Another beautiful day in paradise here in beautiful, sunny Southern California. I'd be doing a lot better, though, if things had been a little different with the outcome of last night's games.
It's getting a little hairy out there in the West, buddy, I tell you. It's unbelievable, first, with the Sharks and their run for such a long time and not making the playoffs this year. And now the Kingers, we've been joking around here on the network just the last couple of weeks, whether they're going to get in, get out, whether they want to get in. And last night in Edmonton, unbelievable. And now you got Anaheim as a chance to win the Western Conference, and a lot of questions there. But, buddy, take it from there. Start with the Kings last night, and how you feeling about these guys?
Well, first of all, you know, I've said all along I thought the Kings were going to get in. You know, obviously they've got a championship pedigree. They know how to win important games, but this is not the same Kings team. After watching what happened last night and the way they've kind of been crumbling down the stretch here, it just looks like a tired hockey team to me. I think people tend to forget this team has played a lot of hockey games over the last few years, and last year they played, you know, all those game sevens. They've got a lot of players that have played not only playoff hockey, regular season hockey, but Olympic hockey. And I think you're starting to see the effects of that right now. So the way that Calgary is playing and Winnipeg's playing, I think that the Kings it'd be a miracle from at this point to make it, which is sad because you're talking about the great state of California here. We've had all three teams in the playoffs the last several years. Now we may be down to just one. So all our hopes will be riding on the Ducks. But, you know, obviously tomorrow night, just a tremendous game to win that game in regulation, or else, you know, the season is pretty much over. But, you know, I what do you think? What do you see from the Kings? What are your observations? I know being on the East Coast bias thing, but when you watch a team out here in the West play, a team like the Kings who we've gotten familiar with over the last several years, what do you see that is leading for them to possibly miss the playoffs?
You know, Steve, it's hard to put a finger on it, as I'm sure, like yourself and what you were just talking about and everybody else. And, you know, myself and Mike here joking around during the afternoons on the Red Lines, it's always been about, it doesn't matter, the Kings are going to get in. And, you know, also we have Bernie Nichols every week, too. And the confidence has been very high there in terms of that. Don't worry about the Kings. It's always been the catchphrase, as far as I've been concerned over here, is don't worry about it. But I guess, you know, after they came into New York there a couple of weeks ago and basically kicked everybody's butt, and they looked very championship-like in terms of the way they smothered the Rangers, that was the big standout game for me. And then I figured, all right, they're going to be fine. But I think everybody now has to – I mean, it's obvious, but I really think last night and over the weekend, it was like, wow, you got to get worried about this. And, you know, so much talent. And, you know, you, Steve, you know more than anything in following – you know, these guys for the last couple of years, and you bring up the Stanley Cup championship here. It's kind of, I guess the Kings are unique, Steve, and I want to get your thoughts on this too, is they've kind of, with the changes, you know, the late season with Sutter coming in and then winning the cup, and then the late changes, you know, and then them just getting in and all this talent, that it's like, it's very weird how the makeup of this team is and the success that they've had.
You hit the nail on the head with that one. The team was basically assembled to win in the playoffs. You know, they kind of coast through the regular season. They have their ups and downs. But once they find their way to get into the playoffs, they seem to turn it up a notch. They've got the pedigree, the goaltending, the coaching to win games. And one thing I was reading the other night, that was like a smack in the face, was that the Kings are one of the worst teams in the NHL this season in one-goal games. Something they've always prided themselves in, winning those close games, winning those hard-fought games. The only teams in the entire NHL that are worse in one-goal games than them are Buffalo, Edmonton, Florida, and Dallas. And that's, you know, we're looking at the bottom of the NHL right there. So that in itself just shows me that this is not the same Kings team we've seen over the last year. This is a group that maybe through the motions, but are just mentally and physically fatigued. You know, they still got the great goaltending, they still got the pedigree, but you know, there's only so much that you can put these guys through before they finally just start to, you know, they can't hit that extra gear that they've been able to do over the last several years. So,
yeah, you know, Steve, go ahead, finish, man. No, you finish,
you
bro.
Know, You know, it's been one of those things, and like you said, you joke about it. You know, when are the Kings going to turn it on? Okay, here come the Kings. Uh-oh, watch out for the Kings. You know, the Ducks, oh, they might face the Kings in the first round of the playoffs. Uh-oh, watch out. Now it's like, wow, everyone is just – there's no fear of that team anymore, and it's sad to kind of see because I was enjoying that success they were having.
Well, let me ask you this, Steve, and again, everybody, welcome to Hockey West Radio, and I know we jumped the gun here because we're all pumped up about the playoffs, and the Kings are the big story right now, and Anaheim obviously in, but there's definitely some issues there that I want to get into with, and obviously the Sharks are something we got to touch on too. And before we go any further, though, Stevie, we gotta let everybody know what we're doing here about with Hockey West Radio, and I'm so excited about you coming on board here, and you've been with us for the last couple years at Hockey This Week, and you start with the Devils here with us and you're bringing out West, but you've been working with the Ducks for years and you've been out in LA and you got a great grasp on the LA hockey scene. Tell everybody, you know, because I'm bringing this up now too because you joked about it before with the Sharks being out and maybe the Kings being out, and now we're getting into the start of this new radio show for you. But with that said and going forward into next season, what are you looking to bring to everybody here with this show? Outside of normal shows that are out there in terms of popular shows up in Canada, Toronto, and even New York with the Rangers, Devils, and Islanders and everything, is there a hole out there in LA, or do you think there's a hole out there in media for West Coast hockey?
Absolutely, I think this is going to provide us myself especially a great platform to be able to bring the LA hockey scene to the forefront and kind of give it the exposure that it deserves. You know, we've talked about it on several of the other shows before, just how big the hockey, the love of hockey and the hockey, the passion for hockey in Southern and Northern California has grown over the last several years. And there hasn't been really any kind of show or platform or anything that's kind of focused on that. And I think this gives us an opportunity to not only focus on hockey out here in Southern California, but give the fans out here something, kind of a voice or a platform or a way for them to kind of express their love for their team and be able to hear them talk about their teams. And I alluded to it earlier with the East Coast bias thing. That's kind of a ongoing joke out here in California, but at least this gives us an opportunity to be able to, you know, have a show dedicated to the Kings, the Ducks, the Sharks. We got the AHL coming out here to California, and there's a lot of great things happening. So this is just something that's long overdue, and I think it's about time, we grab the bull by the horn, so to speak, and just kind of run with it. And I'm really looking forward to it. I'm excited for it. And this is a great platform for us to be able to do that. So
good, man, because we're excited to have you on board here and get you going. And you know, with the AHL, you bring that up real quick, coming out there. And obviously the Sharks farm team released their new logo the other day, the Barracuda, and I thought it was pretty hot. I like the fact that they stuck with the colors and everything. But hey, with the water shortage that's going on out there, Stevie, I mean, they're going to have enough water for all these rinks now?
Very funny. You know what? I sure hope so. I know we've seen some pretty bad ice out here, but I hope they don't skimp on it with these hockey teams. But no, seriously, these facilities that these teams are playing in are state-of-the-art, and I think you're going to get to see some really good hockey. And it's about time we've got to see some of the high-end minor league hockey out this way. You know, they've had West Coast Hockey League, the ECHL out here. The teams kind of come and go, but this is a great, great time in California hockey to bring a whole another level of minor league hockey and to expose another generation, a whole new generation of fans to something that we've all been enjoying for many years. So I'm really excited about it. It's amazing that to see where it was when I first moved out. There was a few hundred people, a few thousand people at the Great Western Forum where the Kings are to where it is today. This is just it's a lot of fun. I'm really enjoying being a part of it.
Yeah, no, it's great. You got more hockey than you can handle now for next season, no doubt about it, Stevie. So look, couple of key points. Let's bounce back to the Sharks, and then maybe we'll bring the Kings back later, obviously with the rest of their schedule, and obviously we'll touch a little more on what you saw last night in the game. But take the Sharks here, the first team that was eliminated in terms of California teams getting knocked out of the playoffs here, and maybe this sticking point that's the same with all three teams, and I'm going to let you take this away here and just get your thought on it here. The Sharks, like I said, 10-year run here, playoffs. 23 is the longest by Detroit that you pointed out to me. So that's tough for them. So the Sharks, long run here with a lot of the same guys. Okay, that's one thing.
Yep.
The Ducks here, Boudreaux in here. Same thing. Long run with a certain core of guys here. Obviously, the goaltending is different. The Kings, maybe they've just gone too long the last few years in terms of playoffs,
right.
Stanley Cups, everything else. So maybe they're just finally gassed out. So go back to the Sharks here. What do you think happened with them, you know, bowing out, and especially going back to last year, getting swept by the Kings after being up 3-0? And can this franchise rebound?
Well, I'm glad you mentioned that, because I believe that's kind of where the downfall of the Sharks began. You know, after they were up 3-0, and they looked like they were going to roll over the Kings, and then L.A. comes storming back, takes that series, and then you just kind of – it was kind of like an implosion there in San Jose. There was infighting. There was the management questioning the players questioning the management. Then there was this whole taking the captaincy away from Joe Thornton and questioning his leadership, and that kind of carried over through the offseason, and then it kind of bubbled over into the regular season. The Sharks were very inconsistent. They were really hot and cold. Then you had the little spat towards the end of the year with the GM, Wilson, and then Thornton again kind of going back and forth with each other in the media. And, you know, I think people forget as February, this was a playoff team. They had 22 games to go. They were in a playoff spot. And then the whole thing a couple weeks later happened with Doug Wilson and Joe Thornton and going back and forth, and this team kind of just spiraled out of control. And it was a culmination of the infrastructure of the team kind of just crumbling. They've been playing below 500 hockey. They fell out of the playoff spots and ultimately were eliminated. And I think you're going to see sweeping changes with this team. They got a lot of young talent, which is great. But, you know, Patrick Marleau and Thornton, they've been there for years. They were never able to get over the hump. And I think you're going to see the team go in a different direction over the summer and try to kind of rebuild the identity and kind of put back the foundation of this team, maybe follow the lead of a team like the Ducks, who have a lot of young players that they kind of lean on. So that's where it all kind of began with San Jose. And I kind of saw it and mentioned at the beginning of the season where this team was you know, a bubble that was ready to burst, and it finally burst. And here you are. You see a 10-year playoff run, you know, come to an end, and one of the more promising runs for a franchise is now gone down in a fiery wreck, so to speak. So it's kind of sad to see, you know, this is a team that should have been challenging for cups, and instead now here we are talking about them blowing everything up and starting from scratch. So, you know, that's just kind of the way they ended up.
And let me ask you this, Steve, is maybe this something they should have done last year after that sweep? A lot of people talked about in the offseason, and I know we did here, and I figured that was the time to do it. I know there's a lot of talent, and I want to ask you about that. In terms of, you know, a guy like Thornton here and Marleau and you know, Burns and Couture and even the coaching staff, Todd McLellan here, I love the guy as a coach too. Would it have been easier for those guys to take a house cleaning? And I'm not aware on the contracts right now and anything else in terms of what Wilson could have done as a GM. But do you think this should have been done last year, or were they kind of – they needed to kind of – so they could sleep at night, make sure that this team now has to be blown up after one more season after that?
You know, I think that's probably the direction they should have gone. You know, they kind of let this fester, and nothing good in professional sports or anything really can come of an issue that's kind of been swept under the rug. You know, we'll try to move on, but it was never really addressed. You know, they never really went with a captain. They went with the four alternates all season. And I think it just, you know, everyone was kind of like, well, kind of left out hanging to dry. The players not knowing the certainty of their future and the management not making it really clear what direction they were going to go. I think they should have at least tried to move one, if not both, of those two guys, the veteran core of this team prior to the season, give them a fresh start, clean slate, so to speak, so that the team kind of can move forward. I think it kind of just left too many unanswered questions hanging over their head. And, you know, as a professional athlete, you got a lot of things you got to worry about, but the mental aspect is you know, more important, if not, you know, just important, more important than the physical aspect. And I think that was something that really, really should have been handled prior to the season, or, you know, even at the trade deadline, try to move somebody, or during the season or whatever. I'm not sure, you know, if that was ever really a possibility, but something that definitely should have been addressed long before this ever came to, you know, fruition.
And Steve, last thing on the Sharks here, and this will probably directly take us right to the Ducks. And that's the goaltending here for the Sharks. You can go back to the Nabokov years, and you know, and then even when he came to Long Island, you know, the Islanders after the lockout there, they had that great series against Pittsburgh. If maybe if Nabokov plays a little bit better in that series, the Islanders probably beat the Penguins there. And obviously, you know, oh my God, I can't believe the former coach of the Penguins. Why can't I remember his name? The guy who got fired. Oh, anyway,
Bylsma.
Yes, thank you. Oh my God, it's so weird. You know, with not him not being around, but Bylsma made the right call in that series and took Fleury out. You know what I'm saying? And put Vokoun in there, right? And it changed the whole thing around. So Nabokov, his knock as far as San Jose was concerned prior to two was great regular season success and no success in the playoffs. Now, Niemi comes in there. He wins a cup at Chicago, and he got Stalock in there. But Niemi can't basically do it either. It seems that maybe if they had better goaltending, maybe the Sharks could have closed out the Kings last year, or they could have been better in the season's past. Your thoughts on their goaltending, and is that the biggest thing for the Sharks to change? And then that should take us right to the big issue for the Ducks right now.
You know, I've never been overly concerned about the Sharks' goaltending. You know, I think Anthony Emmy, he's always had tremendous regular season success. He's just one of those guys who hasn't been able to get over the hump in the playoffs. He's still a quality goaltender. You know, they got Stalock coming up, another young goaltender. You know, I don't know if that's the most pressing issue, but when a team is looking to move in a different direction, the first thing, one of the first pieces that they move is the goaltending. You know, we go back to a team like, I didn't want to bring them up, but the New Jersey Devils. To move past Martin Brodeur, they went and got Corey Schneider. I mean, these are the kind of things that you just kind of see happen when a team goes in a different direction. And there's always clubs out there looking for good veteran goaltenders. So it would not surprise me if Niemi's one of the chips that falls when they look to you know, kind of revamp the team for next season. So I wouldn't put all the blame on him, but he is ultimately somebody that will probably take the fall for what's transpired there.
All right, so let's switch over to the Anaheim Ducks. They are in. Bruce Boudreau, top of the league here for a while. Looked like they were going to win the President's Trophy. It was probably a throw-up between you know, them and even you know, Nashville. And wow, the Rangers kind of sneak in on everybody. And I know that kind of burns you over there. But they win the President's Trophy. But let's talk about this squad. You know, are they going to make a real run here, Stevie? Gibson, Anderson, who's it going to be? Again, top-heavy, huge talent up front. Take it away here, man. Talk about these guys, Boudreau, and what do you think they're going to do here?
Well, you can look at the Ducks, and this is a team that they've put all their chips in the basket, so to speak. This is the run they want to make. You know, they've had back-to-back 50-win seasons. They've won the Western Division again. You know, winning the President's Trophy might have been important to the fans, or maybe it wasn't part of the fans, but it wasn't important to the Ducks. Their ultimate prize is winning that Stanley Cup. You know, Boudreau and the Ducks, so since the Ducks won the Cup, they haven't been past the second round of the playoffs. Boudreau, never been past the second round of the playoffs. This is a team that has a lot to prove. They went out and picked up Ryan Kessler, who's, you know, paid huge dividends for them. They made some moves, bringing in Wisniewski and Desprez at the trade deadline. They got rid of some of their speed, brought in a little more grit. This is a team that it wants to win right now. They have the talent to do it, but the goaltending—that's going to be the question again. You know that no one's ever won the cup by, you know, deciding when. Well, I guess this guy will start tonight, and I guess this guy will start the next night. You know, last night last season that was one of their biggest downfalls in the playoffs. You know. They come in, they have Anderson, and then they all of a sudden they got Gibson in there, and there's so much inconsistency there that they could never, you know, team is going to be successful. They've got to pick one of these guys to be the starter for the playoffs. And in my gut, it's got to be Freddie Anderson. I think he's earned it. I think he's put in the time. I think he had a decent playoff last year. I think he's got to be the guy. Boudreau's got to send him down and say, look, this is your team. Ride us to the cup. Gibson's an excellent goaltender, but I just don't think that they can put, you know, all the weight on him again. He's still a young guy, 21 years old. They've got to stick with one goaltender, and it needs to be Freddie Anderson. And I like the way that this team is assembled. I think Murray's done an excellent job retooling this team. You know, they're very consistent. They score a lot of goals. They have the ability they have an uncanny ability to come back from deficits. They do fall behind, but, you know, two, three goals, this team can come back because they they can skate with the best of them. And, you know, if they can get their power play a little more consistently and they stick with the goaltender, this is going to be a very dangerous club. And I think their window of opportunity is shrinking, you know, especially if the Kings aren't in it, especially if the Sharks aren't in it. This is a chance for Anaheim to grab the forefront of California hockey again and say, this is still our town. We were the first, you know, team here to win the Stanley Cup. Let's bring it back home again. And I think they have a very, very good shot to come out of the West. Whether they beat the Rangers or not, who knows?
Yeah, we'll see if that setup happens. I mean, I think it's, you know, it's on both sides, Steve. You know this so well. There's so many teams you got to get through to get to the finals.
Absolutely,
alone here.
Yep.
You know, I think it's kind of a salt in the wound there when you see Jonas Hiller 51 games in Calgary now. And that team looking like they're going to get in here, and you know, they're looking pretty good too. So, I mean, just with all the goaltending for the last couple of years with Anaheim, it's been, you know, kind of crazy here. I want to just bring up these last few games that they played. You know, the Rangers crushed them 7-2. They gave up another 5 to Columbus. They
right.
did win in Boston there. They came into Long Island. They beat the Islanders 3-2. They beat your Devils there as well. And then, you know, just, you know, the other nights, they win 5-1 against Edmonton. They lose, you know, so it's back and forth here, Steve. There just doesn't seem to be that consistency. Obviously, Dallas tonight, they're looking for the home ice and everything, and then they wrap things up in Phoenix. I mean, that's got to be frustrating. I know you know this team so well. So if it's not the top guys, if it's not Getzlaff here and Perry, what's going on down the middle and maybe on the third and fourth lines here? What's you know, if you take the goaltending aside, you know, what do you think is the biggest thing that they got to do here to kind of to bring the confidence back that they're going to be a team to be reckoned with? Because I look at from the outside, they're too spotty. Obviously, the goaltending. But do they have the character guys beyond the star power up front if they get shut down? And you know, once the playoffs start, it gets tighter. So what's going to be the biggest key here?
I definitely believe they have enough balance there. You got Andrew Cogliano, you got Emerson Edom, you've got a lot of balance from the top. You got a lot of speed. I think when you look at the Ducks, they go through, I don't want to say mental lapses, but I think, you know, as the season was kind of wearing on, you could just kind of see them. They're not the same kind of hustle wasn't there. You know, they might have been thinking ahead. You know, but you see a breakdown. You see a lot of breakdown defensively on them. They do have several young defensemen there. And then it just seems like once the floodgates open with this team, it kind of keeps coming in. If you're gonna a team like the Rangers, if you're gonna give them an opening, they're gonna jump all over you. They got so much talent there, so much balance. But when you look at the Ducks from top to bottom, you see a lot of balance here. You see a team that can score from any line. I think that's why they've been able to because they don't rely just on Getzlaff. They don't rely just on Perry or Kessler. You know, you've got Palmieri's got 14 goals. Cogliano's got 15, 16 goals. Matt Beleski's had a great year this year, scoring 22 goals. He's a physical player. He's injured right now, but he plays with a little chip on his shoulder. He puts the puck in the net. You got a lot of, you know, Sammy Vatanen on the defensive end. He can score. But I think when you look at these big blowouts, you see that it's just kind of, you know, once they fall behind a certain amount of goals and then another one scored, they kind of take their foot off the gas. And then, you know, you got the whole thing with the goaltending, Boudreaux being quick to pull the goalies. But I'm not worried about that. That's regular season hockey. It's late in the year. They pretty much had the Pacific wrapped up by that point. You got a lot of injuries to the lineup. Jackman's been out. But you're getting them all healthy now, and you're getting a team that it was assembled for the playoffs. So I think once we get, you know, past this, get into April, get into the matchups, you're going to see a team that is focused, that's going to be tight defensively, and that's going to put the puck in the net. I think, you know, tonight's game I think will be an interesting one, watching them play Dallas. Dallas scores a ton of goals, and it'll be interesting to see how they respond. I know they're still trying to get that number one spot in the West, and I think it's vitally important that they secure home ice advantage throughout. We'll see how they respond tonight and how they can hold this Dallas team in check. So I'm not too worried about it. I don't think anybody should be worried about it. I know the playoffs are a different beast, but I truly feel that this team has learned a lot from what happened last year, losing that second round series to the Kings. And I think they're going to use that kind of learning curve, so to speak, to you know, hopefully get past the second round this year. But, you know, like you said, it's very deep. There's a lot of parity in the Western Conference. You get a lot of great talent. They could go to the final. They could get knocked out in the first round. We'll just see.
Yeah, well, Stevie, you know, 50 wins is no joke, and a possibility here to win 50, 52 again. And, you know, to be best in the West is also no joke, too, especially with the other teams in the conference. So that's you know, a big enough accomplishment alone for Boudreau to get this going. And hopefully, you know, once they get that two-day break there before the playoffs, they get to, you know, take a deep breath, they see who they play in the first round, and they get a clean slate, and they'll go for it. And I agree with you, too. I think they got to ride with Anderson and take him all the way. So we shall see what happens. So let's wrap things up here. We'll bounce back to the Kings. Talk about what you saw last night. It was, you know, you see Kopitar and his anger there at the end of the game. The loss here, you know, we touched on at the beginning of the show in terms of these guys being tired maybe. I mean, they've had to work really hard the last couple of seasons, going deep into the summer. You look up and down the roster here, a lot of these guys are in the 70-game mark, 80-game mark, and I'm talking about the top guys on this team. Obviously, Jonathan Quick there, big workload. You know, and, you know, maybe this is the end. You hate not to see the Stanley Cup champion back in the playoffs, but take it away here, Steve. What do you think is going to happen here before do they get in? And if they don't get in, Steve, what do you think was the real problem?
I honestly don't think they're going to get in. I think the way that Calgary's playing right now, I think Calgary is poised to put the Kings out of their misery tomorrow night, win that game, and eliminate them. Just seeing the way that they responded last night, you know, Edmonton was playing their last home game, so they had a lot of energy, weren't ready to kind of match that kind of intensity at the start of the game, and Edmonton was able to jump on top of them. And I think when you're a tired group or a group that has skated as many miles as this team has in the last several years, it's kind of hard for them to come back. But like a true champion, they did make a push there to try to make the game interesting. But I think we've seen, you know, that was kind of their last hurrah. They couldn't pull it out. I think they're done. And honestly, I don't know if you see a whole lot of changes with the Kings. I know they've got a couple decisions to make there, but you know, the goaltending is there. They've got a good core there. They've got they still got Kopitar. They still got Doughty. They still got Carter, who can still score goals. Marion Gaborik still scoring goals. It's not like these guys are just falling off the face of the earth. I think it's just time and all the effort and things they've put out over the last couple of years is finally catching up to them. And like you said, it is kind of sad to see the Stanley Cup champion bow out, you know, after winning the cup. I've seen it firsthand with New Jersey, but I think that they're done. After last night, they couldn't beat Edmonton. I think Calgary is playing very well. I think they're very impassioned. Just watching them, the way that they've been performing the last couple of games, I don't know if the Kings are going to be able to match that intensity. So that's sad to say, but watching the Ducks this year in the playoffs out here from California.
Yeah, no doubt about it, Steve. And I would have to say if the Kings don't get in, these other top teams in the Western Conference are going to breathe a sigh of relief, because in a seven-game series,
absolutely,
you never know. Yeah, and the Kings have proven that too. And the last thing before we close things up, and everybody, thanks so much for tuning in to the debut show here of Hockey West Radio with your host here, Mr. Steve Belumbo. We'll be doing more of this before the end of the season and obviously getting geared up for next year. But, Stevie, you look at the rest of the Western Conference here, and if the Kings don't make it in, I want to get your thoughts on Minnesota, the job that they did getting back into the playoffs. Winnipeg's been unbelievable, this four-game suspension that Bufflin's been out, the job Paul Maurice is doing. You have to believe they're going to cause trouble in the first round no matter who they play, if they are the team that gets in beyond the Kings. Calgary, obviously. And I want to get your thoughts on the Vancouver Canucks here. Tortorella, the nightmare last year. Desjardins comes in here this year. Probably still had the major nucleus. Obviously, Kessler goes to Anaheim here. But your take on, if it isn't the Ducks, who do you think is the team, or which team impresses you the most in terms of getting in outside of the Kings?
You know, I was talking to somebody about this a few weeks ago, and I fully believe that the way that the Minnesota Wild are playing, that would be my dark horse. They remind me a lot of the Kings over the last several years. They get hot at the end, and they come in, and they've got an excellent goaltending, and they got a player like Zach Parise who's been there before, and you just got so much talent in that team, and you know, the great state of hockey deserves a winner, and I would love nothing more than to see this team kind of be able to pull that off. You just look at that. The Western Conference playoff race has been so fun to watch. You know, some of the battle at the top there with all the teams kind of falling off a little bit, St. Louis, Nashville, Chicago, all playing kind of 500 hockey over the last 10 games. And you look at those teams battling for that wild card, and they're all just playing tremendous hockey, winning games, winning huge games. It's been like we've had the playoffs going on for the last couple of weeks. And I think any one of those teams, they could win a round or two and you get in the right matchup. You know, Vancouver, Minnesota, even Winnipeg. I'm not totally sold on Calgary, but you could see them making a pretty good run. So I'm really looking forward to this year. You know, it's going to be a lot of fun. I think just seeing different teams in there makes it even more special. So this should be a really, really fun spring.
Absolutely. No doubt about it, Steve. And great to do this with you, man. Really excited
Absolutely.
To get this show. I mean, we're only doing a half hour here tonight, a little over that. But we want to let everybody know that you're going to be doing some hour shows here down the road. Whether if we don't get them in this season, obviously next year, and you'll bring in some guests and everything else. And we're going to turn this whole thing over to you. And I'm just the guy on the side right now to get you started. But stuff, buddy. I mean, you know how much hockey I do here during the week here, and a lot of the focus
Absolutely.
Is on New York and stuff. This is a breath of fresh air. And you know, Mikey, always here, you know, whenever we would announce the late night games, he would always say, hey, the Paulie West Coast special. So I'm 100% in here, man. I love the Kings, Ducks, Sharks. I love it. I'm excited about the AHL. I'm excited for you being there in Cali, and you've been doing some great stuff with us over the years. So really excited about you taking this thing over and running with it, man. So it'll be good stuff. Tell everybody where to find you on Twitter. And we'll jump back into this next week once the standings are in. We'll do another half hour next week. Sound good?
Absolutely. I just want to thank everybody for tuning into our first show here at the Hockey West Radio. You can find me at Steve Palumbo, HTW, on Twitter. And looking forward to doing this and spending some more time bringing the great state of hockey, the second state of hockey, California, to the forefront again. So thanks a lot, Paulie, and I'll see you next week.
All right, buddy, and don't drink all the water tonight in the house, okay, pal?
All right, bud.
All right, be safe. For Paul Cuthbert and Mr. Steve Palumbo, hope you guys enjoyed Hockey West Radio. We'll be back next week again at Hockey West Radio on the Twitter. And everybody have a great night. Enjoy your night of hockey, and we'll see you next time right here on HTW2.com. And as well, check out the archives and the live shows at HTW. Everybody, take care of yourself out west. Be well. Good night.